Ladies and gentlemen, guess who that was? That was the Rat Pack, and welcome to Neighborhood Public Radio. Today I'm really, really thrilled because we have rats in the studio today. Yes, that's right. Rats of New York are in the studio. I have a story about a rat. I was dating my partner years ago, and I was driving home from her house one day, and I was veering off of the freeway, and a rat fell on my windshield. It did. It fell right on my windshield. I couldn't speak. I tried to get it off. It was hanging onto my windshield wiper, and as I turned on the windshield wiper, thinking, okay, I could get rid of this rat. He is not going to get the best of me. So I turned on my windshield wiper, full speed. I mean, way full speed. Fast as I could go. And did he fall off? No, he did not. He was just right on there looking at me like I was some kind of weirdo. So here I go. I think to myself, okay, now I'm really going to do this right. So I speed up the car, full speed, 40 miles an hour, and I stopped dead, thinking he would fly off the hood. He looked at me like I was some kind of an idiot. What do you think you're doing there? He thought. I was freaked out. At that moment, he looked at me, turned around, hopped off the hood of my car, and I never saw him again. I was freaked out by rats from that moment on. So I thought, when I'm from California, I thought to myself, geez, self, what should I talk about in New York? Ponder. I thought, I know, I'm going to have the rats of New York. So on the computer I went, I Googled, I emailed, I did all this kind of stuff, and I'm part of Meetup. Has anybody been through Meetup? Well, I found Raquel. She is the rat queen of New York in the Meetup area. She's a veterinarian. And I've been reading all of these little emails about these wonderful rodents that I thought were so disgusting on my windshield. So without further ado, I am going to talk to Raquel. Raquel, can you speak to me?
Certainly.
Raquel, how are you today?
Fine, how are you?
Good. How many rats do you have with us today?
Let's see. Luna, how many? Four.
Four rats today. Tell me, I know there's such a thing as a rat king. What is that?
Actually, I don't think anybody knows the correct or true answer. We don't know if it's true or fake. There are all kinds of evidence in various countries in Europe that would lead you either way. For example, people have said that in the Rat King, the rats are tied by their tails, and another rat might come and feed them since they cannot loosen themselves and go eat. People have said this tying together is spontaneous. Other people have said that a mean person tied them that way. So we don't really know the story, but we believe that it's been written about, so maybe it really does happen every now and then in perhaps Germany or Norway or wherever.
Mm-hmm. So in your experience, how there are rats, I've seen videos of rats in like a Kentucky Fried Chicken and all of that kind of stuff. Do they always like lurk around? Tell me the good things about rats, Raquel.
The first great thing is their intelligence. And a domesticated rat bonds with the human being that keeps it. In the case of the wild rat, that intelligence, that ability to survive, helps him to deal with his environment. And since humans don't want too many wild rats around, I think it's the humans that have to learn to stop feeding the wild rats, because as long as there's food around, there are going to be plenty of wild rats. So the wild rat is smart enough to hang out around restaurants and places where people leave half-eaten hamburgers on the sidewalk or where the garbage cans aren't properly protected against invasion by rats. Then we come to the domesticated variety, which is the same species as the wild, but we've selected over the past 100 to 200 years for tame animals with whom we can actually live in our homes and have as pets. So in terms of intelligence, we now have these little creatures that can learn tricks and can amuse us and go close to our ears and make sweet little sounds of happiness, because a happy rat will grind its teeth, and this is called bruxing, and the sound is as though they were clicking their teeth together, and it's just wonderful to a rat lover to hear this in their ears because it means the rat is happy.
How big do rats get?
Perhaps an average male pet rat could be 500 grams, which is approximately a pound, and the female might be maybe 20% less than that, about 400 grams. But pet rats can range from smaller, 300 grams, to even a kilogram. Wild rats, I don't know for sure, but I would imagine that the size is not much different.
Well, I know you have some guests here, and you're the Rat Meetup. What is the name of your organization?
The New York City Rat Meetup Group.
And I, without further ado, I am going to let you ratters, rat speak amongst each other and have your meeting. And if any of you are listening online and want to come by, we're at Neighborhood Public Radio, part of the Whitney Biennial. We're at 941 Madison Avenue. Come by, bring a rat or two. Raquel, here you go.
Okay. Before we started, Alua had a question.
Oh, okay. He's probably two because I got him actually a year ago today. A PW, which stands for Pink Eyed White. He's a male. I haven't weighed him like a month. I don't remember. he was getting close to a pound though. He's a big guy. And some of it is fat and some of it is just because he's very large. But when I first got him, he was a little nippy and he was really territorial, and I've just been spending tons and like bordering on 6 and 7 hours a day with this guy, and he's gotten a lot better. And now I've kind of, because I always go to pick him up when I want to spend time with him, and because he'll climb on my shoulder, but he never climbs on my hand. That might be because he's too big to fit on my hand. But whenever, you know, I offer him my hand, he just kind of looks at it and is like, so you're letting me, you want to pet me? Why is your hand just sitting there? What are you doing? So I was wondering if there's like some way I could get him to climb on my hand to train him to do that. I've put food on my hand and he'll come and get the food and walk away. So I'm thinking maybe there's some way where we can have, you know, a sort of, where we can come to an agreement between where he can come and stay and get food and scratches and know it's cool to climb on my hand. So I was just wondering if there was anything.
I would suggest you go to ratfanclub.org and study the Phineas technique. That Phineas, I believe, is the name of the rat, and Phineas wouldn't come near his human, or her human, I forget the sex of the rat. In training, sometimes you have to start from the goal, and sometimes you have to start in the other situation from the distance. In this particular case, Phineas was trained to come and trust his human with little pieces of food that started out close to the rat and got closer and closer to the human. But unfortunately, one of the elements in the training was near starvation, meaning if Phineas did not come closer to his human, he didn't eat. How did you say that your rat is little? Is this Marvin, by the way?
Yeah, this is Marvin.
Okay. Is it a little on the heavy side?
A little, yeah.
Well, I think that Marvin is going to start losing weight as part of this training, but should not lose more than 1% weight per week. That would be if he's 700 grams and 7 grams per week, weight loss should be the maximum.
Okay.
If he starts losing more than that, you're going to have to put back, you're going to have to feed him some.
Yeah.
Okay. And then when you read about Phineas in the Trust article, And you can email me, you know, we'll keep in touch about this if you'd like, to make sure that you've got the right article. You'll be making Phineas come closer and closer to you in order to eat the food that you're putting closer and closer to you. He will learn that your hand is somehow associated with the goodness of the food. And we can talk about that more, but that's sort of the idea.
Okay.
I know you've been putting your foot on your hand. That's different from training him to come to your hand.
Right.
At your command, so to speak.
I just wanted to point out that today, as I was coming here, I pulled out of my mailbox the It's a Rat's World magazine, the latest issue. We in the rat community now have our own magazine called It's a Rat's World. I'm a regular contributor of it, as well as Karen Borgia. She's not with us today, but she does a lot of the photography for it. And the particular story of mine that I did that's in this issue was coverage of World Rat Day, which was officially April 4th. It's April 4th every year. We celebrated, though, because it was on a weekend, turned out to be a weekend day on April 6th. And it's a day of international significance for those of us in the rat community, where we honor the rat, their contributions to our lives, and the contributions are substantial. Being a psychologist, I'm very well aware of how not only have they contributed through their contributions for behavioral studies, but also for those of us who have them, how they add to our lives. Certainly stress reduction, just like people say, well, have a fish tank or a dog or a cat you can pet. For those of us who have rats, I know when I have a stressful day at work, I grab my little guys and just stroke them and pet them. And just the cares, it's a cliche, but the cares of the world just melt away. So although my article focused on particular activities on a particular day, there is actually a World Rat Day.
Wonderful. Did you give your full name, Cindy?
Oh, yes. Thank you. I'm Cindy Stewart.
Thank you, Cindy.
Should we introduce ourselves?
Yeah. Oh, we can, yes. Alua, you are?
Well, I'm Alua Damey, but that's really long and complicated. Well, the whole thing is really long and complicated, but it's just Alua. For those of you who feel like you want to have a conversation with the radio, I won't talk back to you because I can't hear you. But if you want to get to that level of comfort, it's cool. Just call me Alua.
Thank you, Alua.
Luna? I'm Luna Fox.
You have a number of rats with you.
Yes, I brought four girls with me today to show our radio hostesses. They're a variety. All four of them are domestic rats. They're not wild. They're very, very calm. One thing that I would like to say as far as, you know, to our listeners is that, you know, rats are very intelligent. They're also very friendly. It's mistaken that, you know, people are afraid of rats. They think rats are going to bite them and attack them. Well, any animal that's, any wild animal, for instance, you wouldn't want to just pick up off the street. But with domesticated pet rats, they're very much like any other pets that we have, and they are very friendly, and they like to be stroked and petted. And the more interaction that you have with a domesticated pet rat, the more they learn to trust you. And they can be they can learn their names, they can be trained to come when they're called, they can be litter pan trained. I personally have a room that's rat-proof where I let my rats frolic around. And they know to, you know, go to a litter pan or go into a cage with an open door to soil, and that's where their food and their water is. So, you know, there are a lot of, and it's actually a great pet to have when you live in the city, because not all apartments will allow you to have cats or dogs, and rats are caged animals, and therefore, you know, they don't take up a lot of space. They are just as intelligent as dogs, and you don't have to walk them. And and you know, because of all these reasons, they do make wonderful pets. It's just so sad that there's a stigma attached to them in society. But I think the more that, you know, we network and educate the public about pet rats, people will realize that, you know, they're not wild, quote unquote. They are domesticated. They are smart. They are friendly. And, you know, they're just wonderful to have around.
Thank you, Luna. Since you mentioned the difference between the domesticated and the wild, to emphasize that difference, I'd like to say that as long ago as 150 years, already in England, rats were being sold as pets. And around 1900, already the so-called fancy of rats was being developed, meaning that they were starting to have rat shows, just the way today we have dog shows, cat shows, and we also have rat and mouse shows and small animal shows, including hamsters, gerbils, chinchillas, you name it.
And hedgehogs,
thank you. Great. So did anybody have a question on their mind that they wanted to deal with at this meeting today?
One question I had, Luna was showing me earlier one of the rats that she did bring recently had surgery for two tumors being removed, which is very, very common among female rats. And it's one of the reasons I like to stick with male rats so I don't have to go through that heartbreak. Just what is percentage-wise the incidence of mammary tumors in female rats?
It's very high and a very good way to prevent or reduce the risk of such tumors, which are often benign mammary tumors, is to have the rat spayed by age 3 or 4 months. There are other approaches that are being investigated in terms of, say, a person does not want to have the rat spayed, and anybody who wants more information on alternative methods to reduce the risk of mammary tumors in rats will kindly contact my group. I mean, you'll find me on the internet, the New York City Rat Meetup Group, and I'd be happy to inform further.
This is Luna. I'd also like to point out that the reason why the females have or develop mammary tumors so frequently, well, one, it can be attributed to poor breeding. Someone that's breeding that's not really concerned with health and temperament, which is also how you get nasty animals. But female rats, their mammary glands run from pretty much the neck area to the groin area. And they are very genetically similar. I'm not exactly sure on the percentage. I think it's 82%. Raquel, would you agree with that?
I'm not going to go as far as to give an exact percent? Because I don't want to be wrong.
Okay, well, don't quote me, listeners, but I believe it's around 82% of human DNA that's similar to human DNA that rats have. And therefore, they're also prone to a lot of the same illnesses and ailments that we have. They're omnivores like people as well, so they do eat meat and they do eat vegetables. And I guess, you know, with the females in particular having so many mammary glands, it is, you know, quite common when not getting them spayed, as Raquel mentioned, before, you know, 3 months old, because having them spayed then reduces their estrogen levels. And so, you know, but don't be fooled, Cindy, because the males can also develop, benign mammary tumors as well. It's just unfortunate that it's more common with the females. But in the future, hopefully, with diminishing this irresponsible, you know, breeding of them, maybe taking that into account, will help. And hopefully the expenditures, unfortunately, are very, very high. So to have a female spay, they're considered exotics in veterinary medicine. And therefore, a lot of times people can't afford to get their pet rat spayed. I mean, it's a $5 pocket pet, could turn into $500 endeavor. But hopefully, you know, like I said, with education and, you know, people will know this and be able to think about it before getting a pet rat and, you know, save up for the chance that could occur or, you know, having the female spayed before it does.
Well, watching you, Luna, with the rat as you're speaking with this, your little agouti brown rat, which is, I know the listeners can't see, but it's what the color that you would most likely think of when you think of the wild rat, a brown color. While you're talking, I mean, this rat is in a totally foreign environment, and you probably didn't notice it, but she was bruxing, doing that chewing movement, and she was boggling, which is a behavior where the eyes look like they're popping in and out, and it indicates contentment. So that's how domesticated these little guys can get. I mean, in a totally strange environment, Luna is the only one this rat knows. Everybody else is a stranger. But she's just being the sweetest little thing. So it's a world away from the very demonized wild rat that you do see, well, here in New York, infamous in the subways.
Right. Well, with a domesticated animal, they don't have to be tamed as though as a wild animal would. They just have to be socialized. And by socializing, you know, any of your pets, you know, rats learn to trust you based on how much communication you have with them. And I handle my rescues constantly. And so they don't bite. They are very open to other people handling them. You know, they will greet me when I come home and, you know, in their own little way of saying hi. And they are very content in that sense. Because all you really need to do is, you know, communicate with them and let them know that you're not out to hurt them. You're just, you know, and build that bond of trust.
You mentioned just now your rescues, and I think it is kind of maybe a lot of the listeners would be surprised to know, just like there are dog rescues and cat rescues, there are quite a few rat rescues out there in the rat community, and I know you've done your fair share of them. Care to elaborate?
I used to own and operate my own small animal rescue dedicated primarily to domestic pet rats. And recently I'm taking time off from rescuing rats because I'm going back to school. But yeah, I mean, when you think about it in these terms, there are many, you know, cat, dog, and other types of animal rescues out there. There are so many rats in our society. People in general sometimes tend to buy a pocket pet at the store, you know, for their children. And as I was mentioning before, not realizing these are exotics or considered exotics in veterinary medicine. And, you know, then the animal has to be taken to the vet. And they're not ready or prepared to deal with these very large expenditures. And therefore, what do they do with the pet? Well, when you have an animal as small as a rat and you bring it to a pound or a shelter, their space is really given to, you know, the larger animals and the pets that we're more used to, like cats and dogs. And so sadly, a lot of these smaller animals, including chinchillas and ferrets, whatnot, get euthanized. And it's, you know, I'm not the only one. There are people all over the country that now rescue rats. For this reason, and also because rats are also used in laboratory experiments for colleges, and then at the end of the semester, sadly, these animals get euthanized. And so that's a, you know, another instance where I might, you know, step in and take in these, you know, rats, or, you know, in the past I've taken in mice and other sorts of small animals that were used in, you know, college experiments, because there's really no other place for them to go except, you know, to the gas chambers, so to speak. And so a lot of it is like, you know, private surrenders where people, they can't afford the pet, they don't want the pet anymore, they'll give them to me and I'll work with them if they're not social, and then rehome them to a better, you know, a better home, some a place that's more suitable for them. If I can't adopt them out, I'll keep them. I will never turn an animal over, you know, to euthanasia or to somebody else. So it's, like I said, colleges, private surrenders, sometimes even different, how do I say, like just different shelters that only deal with cats and dogs might contact me and say, you know, oh, Luna, we know you do rat rescue. We, you know, someone came in and, you know, whether they were a breeder or whatever, and they had too many and they dropped them off, or it was a pet and they dropped them off, and before they do get euthanized, they'll come to me first and ask me to take them in. So these are all places where, you know, unfortunately rats are, you know, left in limbo, but then, you know, rescuers are active and around, and just, I guess, you know, it takes it's a struggle, because, you know, no one really knows you're there unless you make yourself known.
And thank you. I'm glad you mentioned nobody knows you're there, because since you're going to school, I'd like to mention the Kim's Ark Rat Rescue, which people can Google if they are looking for a rescue rat. We also have at present many white pink-eyed lab rats available as a result of a situation in Philadelphia, and they can be transported. If people want bred rats of specific coloration, rats can be had from black and white to white to bluish gray to Siamese coloration, Dumbo ears, which means elephant-like ears on the sides of the head so the critter doesn't even look like a rat anymore, with or without tail. All types of rats are available, both through rescues and through breeders. And back to the shelter that Luna mentioned. I heard that a shelter might fear the rats because, again, some shelters are oriented more toward larger animals in some cases or more popular animals, so they don't know the rat and they don't know how to care for it. So what do? Kill it. There is an organization known as RATS, RATS. It's the Rat Assistance and Teaching Society. And we try to educate shelters and other people who need to learn about the care of rats so that rats will be respected and cared for and not instead put to sleep or abandoned. Good. So incidentally, speaking of the rats of New York, we are going to be presenting a documentary called Rattus, R-A-T-T-U-S, at the New School in New York City. That's on West 12th Street this coming Thursday at 7 p.m. And the presentation is open to the public. I'd also like to say, since we are here as part of the Whitney Biennial, that we have amongst us very good rat artists, commercial artists Drusilla Kale and Matt Kaplan produce beautiful rat art. So if anybody wishes to discuss any of the topics we've raised today, please Google the New York City Rat Group, because that'll certainly get you to me, or specifically New York City Rat Meetup Group, or even my name, Raquel Cintron, and you will find us. Any more questions?
You should spell your name.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
My name is Raquel, R-A-Q-U-E-L. Cintron is C-I-N-T-R-O-N. I can be reached at raquel.cintron@gmail.com. Yes, Alou?
Actually, if you Google Ratty Meetup, ours is the first thing that comes up.
Why, thank you. thank you for saying ratty. There's also a thing known as the Ratty Health Yahoo group. So those of you out there who have pet rats and want to be in touch with experienced rat owners who know a thing or two of, hopefully feel we know a few things about rat health, or at least where to find a vet and all sorts of questions like that, please join the Ratty Health Yahoo group. Excuse me, Ratty Health Yahoo group. Thank you, Alua.
And if you're gonna adopt, I mean, I only have one male and I spend like all day with him, but it's still not as great as him having like, you know, buddies around. So if you're gonna adopt, at least adopt two, you should get like 15 and just give them the run of your house and rat proof it. And I think that would be great personally, but you know, that might not work out well for some people. But if you're gonna, you know, go to any of those rescue groups that were mentioned, definitely try at least to get a pair, because that's really best. I mean, even if you spend all day with them, it's still the best option.
That's a really good point too, because a lot of people don't know that rats are social by nature. And in the wild, they form colonies. And sometimes, you know, someone will get a rat, they'll only have one. They don't realize that rats need the companionship of other rats. I always tell people there is no amount of human attention that can compensate for the rats that bond, the bonds that rats have with one another. And so that was a really good thing to bring up, that if anybody is interested in getting a pet rat, they really need to consider getting two. And the space constraints for them aren't what one would think. You know, they're prone to a lot of different things, like upper respiratory infections, for instance. You don't want to keep them in aquariums. They need multi-level spacious habitats to you know, run around in. There, you need to keep in mind that they are very intelligent, so you shouldn't, if you're going to get pet rats, get them, you know, in a small group. Two, I always tell people three or more is really good, because their lifespans are so short as well. They only live 2 to 3 years. So in that, you know, short amount of time, only having two, when one dies, the other is left to grieve. And so, you know, having another there eases that process of, you know, losing its you know, that rat's only companion. So there are a lot of things to do, and going to these groups, you know, and learning more and more and more about them is definitely a way to prepare yourself before taking, you know, any animal. You should do that with, though.
That's a really important point. Like anything in life, people will certainly research before they buy a car, a house, anything. Right. When you're taking a living creature into your house, I mean, to me, this is the most important thing that you should research. So it's not something to be taken into lightly, you know, walking into a pet store and saying, oh, this is cute, I want to take it home. You should think, oh, this is cute, let me go home and research it to make sure it is a commitment that you can handle. And as Luna was saying, they are very low maintenance to take care of. But suppose, for instance, it becomes an issue, the 2 to 3 year lifespan, that you know, you'll worry about heartbreak. It's good to know this ahead of time. But they do make wonderful companion animals. I can't emphasize that enough.
Thank you.
I mean, yes. they really do. Marvin is the only guy I have, and like I've had dogs. I love dogs, and probably if you gave me the choice over a rat or a dog, I would admittedly probably pick the dog. But I mean, I guess I have a thing for animals with a bad rap because I've only always had pit bulls, and people hate pit bulls, and they're the sweetest. Really, if you're gonna adopt a dog, get a pit bull. This isn't about pit bulls, it's about rats. Although even though pits are terriers, and I'm going off topic anyway, he knows when I'm upset and when I play with him, and he's better with it now. When I first got him, he was like, what are you doing? But I grab him and roll him over on his back, and he just gets all happy and waves his little paws in the air. It's the funniest thing. But I mean, he knows when I'm happy, and he knows when I'm upset, and he will come over to me when I'm upset. And Brock's an eye, and first of all, if you get a rat and his eye boggles, don't freak out, because first time I had a rat and it eye boggled, I seriously thought it was having a seizure. I freaked out, but I mean, it's like Raquel, it really does look like their eyes are popping in and out of their head. And I mean, they're probably one of the best pets. Definitely, if you know, if you can't, especially in the city, if you can't have a dog or even a cat. I don't know, I think rats are better companions than cats. Cats are finicky. Cats are like, I don't want to be around you. Rats are always like, yeah, that's cool, right on your shoulder, whatever, that's great. But, I mean, they're awesome pets, and they're really good friends, too, actually. As cliche as that sounds, I don't want to get, like, Ben-ish. That's kind of creepy. Don't get your rats to kill people, because that's probably illegal. But I mean,
they wouldn't if you offered them yogis.
Yoga drops in the rat community. They do sell commercial rat food, commercial rat treats. Yoga drops is a rat treat, and most rats treat it like a drug. Although all it is yogurts. They're addicted to it. They love it, and you could pretty much bribe a rat to do anything with yoga drops.
Yeah, speaking of cute rats and sweet rats, Luna is petting what I think is a Rex. Curly fur, would you believe it? It's beautiful. Okay, so we were talking about getting more than one rat at a time. I recommend the rats that are likeliest to be friends forever would be a pair of same-sex siblings. Next to that, rats that have lived together to begin with. And if you do get rats from two different sources, please learn first how to introduce them. Do not just put together any two rats, because there's a specific introduction procedure so that they don't get angry with each other. And even before that, there's a quarantine procedure. So as Cindy was saying, please learn about rats before you get them.
Would you like to maybe expand on the quarantine procedure? That's always
been... Quarantine is simply a matter of keeping separate from the rats that you already have any new rats that you get. So say you have a rat or two at home, and you're somewhere and you decide to buy or adopt a new rat. What you want to do, please, is bring the new rat into your home and keep it as far away as possible from your resident rats for a period of 30 days. Now, I realize people don't agree with me 100% on that statement.
you might consult your veterinarian for his recommendation on the period of the quarantine.
Now, might they consider a longer or a shorter quarantine?
Okay. I've read that some people consider a two-week quarantine to be adequate. I disagree because my veterinarian told me 30 days. In an area where certain diseases are prevalent, certain what we call deadly viruses, they're deadly to the rats, not to us, you might do a two-month quarantine. And if you were a show person where you take the rats to shows and show them for prizes, you might even do a three-month quarantine in an area where certain diseases are prevalent. So it's a question of getting to know those of us who've been around a while and finding out what's appropriate for your location.
Also, like the quarantine that we're talking about is to protect the rats that we already have and the rats that we're taking in. We're not quarantining our rats because, you know, we're afraid they're going to pass some kind of disease on to us. I just want to point that out because, you know, a lot of people in general that don't know about rats feel like they're going to catch the plague or, you know, they're going to catch some, like, disease from the gutters or, you know, whatnot. And those, you know, actually, most of the things that, you know, rats and animals have are species specific. Mm-hmm. And so we're quarantining so they can't transfer anything to one another.
That some foreign rat wouldn't bring some foreign rat disease into your healthy rat community.
Right, and when you say foreign, you just mean another domestic rat.
Well, I mean, even from the apartment next door would be a foreign...
Right.
Could bring in some sort of pathogen that
yes.
would affect your happy rats.
Right.
Home.
Well, there's a it's kind of argumentative with the quarantine process only because you, in my opinion solely, there's never 100% quarantine. Like for instance, Raquel mentioned a rat event or a rat show. Okay, you might not bring any rats into your home and take your rats to a show, but there's 100 other people there bringing their rats to the same show. So, in essence, you know, it's almost like an oxymoron. It's like you have, you know, who's to say that, okay, Cindy and I are going to a show, you know, we won't go together because that would be breaking quarantine. However, when we got down to the show, her rats and my rats are going to be in the same room anyway, you know? So, I mean, it's very argumentative. I would say, you know, the best precautions that you could take is if you, you know, not to go to pet stores because you never know what the animals in pet stores are carrying, especially when you're worried about something that could be transferred on your clothes or something that's airborne. And also, you know, you'll know a little bit, you know, the more familiarized you are with rats, you'll be able to see certain signs, certain things there, you know, if they're sneezing, if they have red, which is porphyrin, can form around their eyes and their nose when they're sick. Mm-hmm. It's you know, it's secreted from their glands when they're ill. So like there are certain things to look out for, you know, when you're, you know, bringing new rats in. You can't always guarantee because not everything is visual. But you know, there's only so much that you could really do.
Sure.
You know, so I mean, it's definitely something you want to keep in mind, but it's not something that you could 100% prevent all of the time.
Okay, an aid to do the best that you can includes, for example, when you go between your resident rats and your new rats, it is recommended that you wash up and change clothes and handle your resident rats first. Incidentally, since Luna mentioned diseases from rat to human, there are roughly one or two diseases in the United States that a human can catch from a rat. They are extremely rare. And in order simply to make your health a matter of your own security, just if you happen to get sick, when you go to the doctor, mention that you have pet rats. The doctor will know exactly what to rule out or he'll know what to do. And as far as shows are concerned, there is a recommended quarantine procedure which each show should teach the participants such that before anybody attends a show with rats, that person has practiced a show quarantine at home. This means that that person has not permitted rats coming into the home, births to take place, or gone to a pet shop. I realize this sounds like very difficult to do. And when the rules are broken, diseases could occur. But
As Luna said, nothing is 100%. We simply try our best. Also at shows, we have a health check so that we try to minimize having sick rats be present at a show. If they are sick when they arrive, they are kept separate from the show participants.
In a similar vein, while you ladies were talking, I was watching some of Luna's rats, and it reminded me to kind of break a myth or a stereotype about rats being dirty. They are among the most clean animals, if not the cleanest. They are constantly grooming themselves and each other. Many, many people have rats, of course, that are all white or with a great deal of white in their pattern. Unless there's something seriously wrong with the rat or the conditions he or she is living in, the white on the rat's body is pure white, it's spotless. They are constantly grooming, and they also groom their humans.
A lot.
I don't know if I should be insulted if they think I'm not as clean as them, but or if it's just an act of love and affection that shows I'm part of their mischief or what, you know, their family group. But they are constantly cleaning. And I would, although I haven't made a great study of rats in the wild, they would probably be doing the same thing, even the subway rats. So you may see them running in the subway among the garbage, but you can be pretty much sure that they're going to be going into a sheltered area and washing themselves like crazy. So rats are extraordinarily clean, probably cleaner than any human could be.
And they clean a lot. Like, I have two cats, and it sounds weird, I know, but I have two cats, a lovebird, a cockatiel, a leopard gecko, and a rat. And the leopard gecko actually technically isn't mine, so you can only half put that on the list. But I watch my cat's groom, and I watch Marvin, my rat groom, and I can definitely say that Marvin grooms more than my cats, probably combined. And these are, I have a Siamese, so you know they're finicky. And he definitely grooms and grooms me. He has a daily routine where he will groom my entire hand from fingertip to wrist, both hands. If I get him on the bed, he'll probably groom my feet too, which takes longer because my feet are dirty.
I think it's like 60% of their day rats spend grooming themselves and cleaning themselves. You know,
Really? How about that? Luna is now touching a rat that is mostly white of body, has some dark, like charcoal gray markings on the face, has a blaze that's off to the side. Very interesting looking little creature. Does he have anything near the tail, or is it all white down there?
No, she doesn't. She's all white down there. Her tail is speckled with color, but she's actually a brown split cap rat.
Thank you.
And they come in all different kinds. I only just got to. I had rats as a kid, but they were definitely pocket pets slash pets. I was like, well, mommy won't let me have a dog, so I'm just gonna go buy a rat. But I mean, I only just actually met through everyone in the meetup, and they're all really awesome people. If you get rats, you should definitely join the meetup. But, and we have meetups all the time, and I usually can't go to them because I'm in school in Maryland, which really sucks because everyone has great fun, but...
But have you joined the Baltimore meetup group?
I can't get Baltimore. I don't have a car. But, I forgot what it was. G-Rocket. Gosh, I really forgot those. Oh, right. But I only got into them about a year ago when I bought Marvin from a pet store, which you should not do. But I bought Marvin from a pet store, and then I felt guilty, and I went back to buy his friend, and he and his friend didn't get along. So I went through the meetup and found tons of information on rats, and there are a gajillion different varieties, and all, like, there's some that look really, like, you'll get the hairless that look about as weird as hairless cats, and you get tailless and the Dumbos, which are probably the cutest things you will, like a baby Dumbo is probably the cutest thing you will ever see, period. And I mean, it's just, they're really a lot of variety and a lot of different things that you can do with them or around them.
Also, they're really easy to feed because, you know, they are omnivores like us, and, you know, a lot of what you can feed them is, you know, stuff that you find in your kitchen cabinets. I don't buy store-bought rodent mix for my rats. I found that a lot of the things that are in the food that they sell at the store aren't good for them. For instance, alfalfa is indigestible for rats, and dried corn can get stuck in their digestive tract. I make my rats a staple diet of cereal, uncooked oatmeal, uncooked macaroni, low-fat, low-protein.
Okay, excuse me, Luna, we're running out of time, so anybody who wants Luna's recipe, please contact our meetup group, and we will put you in touch with Luna. You can go straight to the website, and you'll see Luna's profile even.
Raquel, when you were mentioning diseases before, you meant from wild rats, correct?
No. I was very specifically speaking of domesticated rats. There are approximately one or two illnesses that we can catch from a domesticated rat. They are extremely rare, and your doctor will know what to do if you get sick and you say, I have pet rats at home. The doctor will know exactly what to do, so you need not concern yourself about dying from contact with a domesticated rat, unless, of course, you're in the habit of ignoring an illness, and in that case, you could die from anything.
Well said.
Out of time at this point. How are we doing?
We're actually out of time right now. I'd like to thank the New York Rat Meetup Group for coming into our NPR studio. And, well, we're going to play us out with another one of those Rat Pack tunes. And thanks for listening.
To do a couple of oldies for you. The mood is right and the time is proper. Here's one that is a perennial favorite. We'd certainly like to do it. We feature our guitarist, Mr. Terry Rosen. And we'd like to do it. I think you all know this. We don't even have to say it.
I ain't much to look at.
Goddamn right, Joy.
Nothing to see.
You're goddamn right.
I'm glad I'm living.
He's living.
Lucky to be.
Lucky you're with us, you putz.
I've got a woman.
She's an old bag.
Crazy for me.
She's nuts.
She's funny that way.
How did a little colored Jewish boy get out on the stage?
Can't even holler. I can't save a cent.
Join the club.
She wouldn't holler.
Wouldn't holler?
She'd live in a tent.
Jewish people don't live in tents. Jewish people don't even smoke camels. Sing another song, Sam.
I should have known better. I should have stuck to the first song we tried. We'll do that song I like so much.
Now, when I think of rats, that's the kind of thing that comes up, the witty repartee between those four guys. There's also some other things. We'll get to that in just a second.
This song, ladies and gentlemen, has always been one of our favorites. In fact, it was one of mine because it was the first song I ever recorded, ever. It holds a very special spot.
Hey there, you with the stars in your eyes. Love never made a fool of you. You used to be too wise. Oh, hey there.
What do you want, Sam? If you want to laugh, go and sit in the audience.
Better forget it.
In harmony. He has you dancing on his drink.
Break it and she won't care. Won't you take the advice? I had you like a brother.
A mother, mother.
Gee, he said half a word, didn't he, Dad?
Too much of love to hear. Is it all going in one ear?
Where's the toilet? Oh. It's down the hall, third door to the right. But be careful, ain't no sign on there. Cheer up. Have a good time, Sam. Go ahead.
And on the other...
Get off the stage.
Get him out of here.
All right, Dean, baby. Catch you a little later on down the line when you're all right.